Let's start with the Punch, page 2 of the Punch. By the way, you can watch on Facebook and on YouTube. Just type in Nigeria Info 99.3 and you'll be able to watch us. Page 2 has a story here that says, Presidency PDP panel dumps zoning, fears not voting strength.
Yeah. In the very first instance, some of the aspirants that have shown up in the PDP, whatever, have not been that exciting. That's, you know, not been, you can't see what you would call a fresh approach to politics. Now, the fear of the North, like the headline rightly says, is what is pushing Atiku to the fore. The thinking is that if you present an Atiku against a Southern candidate, Atiku might sweep the North. But all these theories on paper might not be the practical situation. I mean, if anybody told me in 1993, that Abiola would beat Tofa, even in the North, I would have said impossible. But he beat him even in his own state. So some of these theories might not work. A lot of theories you see politicians put forward is to intimidate their opponents. And if the I think that the mood of the country, I think, you never know for sure, but I think that the mood of the country, at least down south here, is to have a southern president, because they believe that during the tenure of Buhari, a lot of Southerners were marginalized, whatever that means. So it is yet to be seen. The PDP are being very careful. They're a very fragile party. Very, very fragile. And so what they've decided to do is to just throw it open to all and sundry. And the primaries would then sort everything out. So what you're going to have at the convention to produce the primaries, you will have an Atiku, Wike, Saraki, Bello, what's the man's name?
Bello Mohammed, yes.
Bello Mohammed and all these other gentlemen. For me, my fear is this. If in Nigeria today, at this moment that I'm speaking to you, the president will either come from the APC or the PDP, we will encourage other participants. But the reality on ground and state of preparedness shows that it's going to be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to unseat any of these two major parties. So what are we looking at? Are we looking at Atiku for the PDP? Because amongst the quote-unquote Southerners, I think that the promising one would be Peter Obi. But we hope that Peter Obi doesn't end up being vice presidential candidate to Atiku.
What's wrong with that?
No, I mean, okay, nothing wrong with that. I just said that. I shouldn't have said we. I should have said, because let me now be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would like a fresh candidate who is more, a bit younger, more exposed, and you find that in Peter Obi.
So I had that conversation this morning, and something kept coming up in everybody's, well, like 95% of the people's comments, and that is, anybody but the APC?
Well, yes.
Because it looked like that was the same statement back in 2015.
Okay, so now won't that also be predicated on who the APC produces?
No, I don't think they even care to know who the APC is bringing out. They just want the party out at all costs, regardless.
Well, yeah, I mean, there'll be people like that, but I think the majority. Because for me, I don't see the difference between the two parties. But there could be a difference between the two candidates. I mean, if you're more open-minded and you would be saying to yourself, look, these two parties are the same. You talk about APC, PDP. The APC itself is controlled now by PDP renegades who moved to the party. So for me, instead of the two parties, which I enjoin every other person to, you know, to look at the candidates that come out of this exercise.
Look beyond the party,
because really and truly there's no party. There's no party, you know. Oshiomhole tried all he could to have some level of party supremacy, but it didn't work. There's no party.
Indeed. Let's go to page 13 of the Punch newspaper. IG dismisses 9 policemen for spearheading planned strike.
Well, professionally, I think the IG, you know, would have found his back against the wall as to what to have done with these people. But what I do know is that in military parlances, planning a strike and so on and so forth is unpardonable. It's almost subject, almost like mutiny. But there's a larger picture that the police need to look at. There's a larger picture. And that larger picture is dictated by what have you actually done with this policeman. We don't need to go over it again. Their welfare is bad, you know. And gradually, we're building up 2 police forces, one for the elites and one for the poor people, one for the masses, you know. Those who are tilted towards the elite are well taken care of. The rest appear to be bound to the Philistines. So the IG has to look at the larger picture to say what would have led these people to have wanted to go on strike. I heard it had also had to do with even salaries being paid on time, which is inexcusable. I would have thought that by this is the 6th of April, by now the payroll that for the end of the month of April should be ready. That's the civil service I worked, in the mid 70s. I worked as a civil servant before. And before you knew it, they'd be calling you, they're looking for you, come collect your money. If you have a police force that you don't pay on time, you don't pay attention to their welfare, you don't do anything about it, then human nature doesn't like a vacuum. That's this right. kind of thing would occur. So in as much as he has no choice than to dismiss these people, even though I believe they can also be pardoned, I'm sure that there is somewhere within the system some rule that can be applied to grant them pardon, so that you don't exacerbate what you have on ground. You see, when you talk about discipline first of all starts with respect. Before you discipline people, it's respect. You respect yourself and then they respect you. Nobody will respect you if you do not do the needful. Nobody will respect you if you do not do the needful, at least the minimum. And the IG is inheriting the police force over the years. It's not just under his watch that salaries are not paid on time, gratuities are not paid on time, pensions, same thing, and so on. Welfare, almost zero. And so I plead with him to look at the larger picture. And I hope that this will not lead to other conflicts within the police force. I hope that the police authorities will quickly attend to what led to this situation.
Maybe there's a new consciousness amongst the rank and file of the police. That's why these people were even able to galvanize the little strength that they had during that period. Like you said, if nothing is done right now to quickly deal with what they are agitating for, we may see the repeat of this.
Future. Definitely. And that is something you don't want to contemplate. There was something like that happened sometime in the 90s, and we paid dearly for it. Even as we speak, to be honest with you, reports from the field indicate that it's you hardly get attended to properly at police stations even now.
Oh.
Yes. You find people, even as I yesterday, people report petty crimes that are done right in the presence of policemen as we speak. So the morale is very, very low. And policemen are like us, they're human beings.
That's
like
right.
us.
That's right.
Even when you have the salary, it's not going to get you anywhere. It's even worse if nothing comes in at all. And the Roger business now is becoming more difficult with cameras and also with civil resistance. It's becoming more difficult. They still take to the road, though. The notorious area in Lagos, National Theatre, Ijora, you know, Ijora Lokpa, those are the notorious areas. And Lekki Axis, the Oniro Axis here, weekends.
Yeah.
Those are the very famous areas within that axis where this rogering takes place. And we don't want this thing to be blown out of hand. We call on the IG, do something very, very quickly about the welfare of these people. And at the very least, make sure that their salaries are paid on time.
Let's flip to the inside page of the Punch newspaper. There's this story on the business and economy page. Train attack, 7 crew members missing. NRC losses hit 80 million naira. 163 passengers unreachable, says NRC.
Yep. This is the latest. And the NRC MD says that they've not been able to establish contact with 163 passengers and 7 crew members. But that 191 passengers have been confirmed safe. Now, in an effort to reach these people, doesn't the NRC MD believe that he should now publish the manifest? This is almost 2 weeks after the incident. Or to come clean and say clearly that there is no manifest so that we can look at other ways of finding out if we have a loved one. Because all of us, I still repeat that some of us will be sitting at home quietly, enjoying our program in the morning between Jimmy Diso and Sheriff on Nigeria Info, not knowing that a loved one was probably involved.
Mm.
You know, and that's the idea of the manifest. My good friend Horace tells me that manifest is usually published 24 hours after. He's a pilot. And that's it makes sense. In fact, the whole idea of having a manifest in the first instance, one of the ideas is to put out the names so that those who feel affected. By now, the NRC should have put out a full-page advert listing the names, not even releasing it in newspapers, a full-page advert, public information that these are the people who registered on this. If he doesn't have a manifest, he should let us know. We take our minds off it, apologize, and then we decide whether we want to forgive him for that lapse or not. All said and done, I think we're embroiled somehow in some corrupt practice that has gone on in the sale of these tickets. And whilst we're trying to solve the security aspect, it also helps to find another way by which tickets can be sold and accounted for fully. Because it's sad. It makes us look completely irresponsible. Our citizens are dead. We don't know them. You know?
Let's go to the Vanguard newspaper now. I'll drop the punch for a moment. We'll return if time permits. Page 5 of the Vanguard newspaper. Shock as terror attack on army base claims 17 soldiers.
There we go again. This is unrelenting. And it says here, 40 injured. The terrorists raised 3 armored vehicles. They seized arms. And Sarut terrorists taxing kidnapping people in Benin Gwara Emirates. Terrorists aiming to paralyze Nigeria, says Chief of Army Staff, adds, security architecture being reviewed to bridge gaps, bolster fighting will, of troops. I don't know the alert system that we have in Nigeria, whether we have blue alert or red alert or whatever, but I think that if we have what I consider the normal alert, we are almost like on orange, which means that because I don't want us to wake up one day and find ourselves surprised and find ourselves surprised by the fact that some people have surrounded our country's capital, or to divert attention they could strike somewhere else. These are all the various possibilities we need to look at. I think that the country needs every security hand it can lay its hands on now to put them on duty. All these security people, DSS, police guarding one individual, send them all back into the field. Because I suspect that we could even jolly well be short of personnel, of properly trained personnel. We waste a lot of our resources. And then now is the time also. One of the best people you can use for information gathering, believe you me, is the media. As I sit here now, running commentaries every day, I have absolutely no contact with anybody in the past 3 years on what is going on. Yet the media is key. It is important that the authorities see the media as part of progress. You know, for running a program, in Lagos, Sharif and I running programs every day, I don't know about him, I've had no contact whatsoever, either with the military authorities or the government stating this position. Could you help us do this? The information is also what information can do, sometimes a whole battalion of tanks cannot do. So the government needs to I'm happy that the Chief of Army Staff says they're reviewing the security architecture. But that also includes information to the people. Hmm. And we don't see any of that.
There was this small interaction between the military hierarchy and the media yesterday in Abuja. We heard in Abuja, not in Lagos. And one of the areas that they spoke about was the cooperation between the military and the media.
It's very, very vital. Mm. I mean, if they had, I'm sorry, I didn't even hear of this, but I don't need to let you need certain people. It's not just those who write in newspapers.
Yeah.
You need to, those who run blogs, those who give commentaries and so on and so forth. All hands to be on deck.
When I was when I was in Port Harcourt, Nigeria, in Port Harcourt,
yes,
I had a DSS officer who would call me from time to time.
Yes, you don't have. Yes, don't forget. People should understand that. Look, these days, all of a sudden, the most listened to programs, believe you me, are press reviews and interviews. Therefore, you need to carry everybody on, everybody. As I'm sitting down here now, I don't even know who is the charge of the defense information. I don't know anything. I don't know any DSS officer. I don't know anybody.
I totally, completely agree with you.
Yes.
There is need for that handshake between the media.
There's a need. Yeah. Although, see, the truth is that people in government need to stop seeing the media as opposition. Mm. It is true that we back at them, we do all these things, but it's in the course of our job. But all of us have the same intention, and that intention is to have a better country. And the earlier that is learned, the better it will be for everybody. This we are getting a big beating security wise,
right?
That I think could be jolly well avoided if we had a more centrist approach. I mean, day in, day out in our country, group of bandits and terrorists strike here and now attack military formations. They are being emboldened.
Yeah, yeah. How about this one here that says bandits army clash, security beefed up around Abuja?
Same story.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing we are talking about.
Mm.
Now, it says in that story that all the exit points are well guarded. They've been surrounded and so on and so forth. But the most important element in it all, believe you, is information. Is information. Both knowing what is going on, what your enemy is up to, and information to bolster the confidence of your people to resist. It's not only, look at what's happening in Ukraine.
Right.
Why do you think the president is, granting interviews every single blessed day? He's dressed, in combat. It's to bolster it because he knows it's not just about the army. It's not just about guns and bullets. It's not just about guns and bullets. So we need to have that approach. We are not a coordinated country in certain areas, and it's quite unfortunate.
Indeed.
Quite unfortunate.
We're going to stay with Vanguard Newspaper Page 6. 67-year-old man prevented from jumping into lagoon on his birthday.
Well, this is the one that was seen. I am sure that if we take very, very good records, the suicide cases would have gone up and up. Most people now, they don't know it, but they're suffering from depression. You can get it from, if you're close to certain people, you can get it from their tone. You can get, and the reasons are, of course, varied, but in the same direction. Everybody is talking about the state of the nation. Some have it out of fear, all these defense challenges. Some have it out of economic situation. They don't have any money to spend. Some even have the money to spend, but it's going away very quickly. And I said yesterday that it is sad that we don't have a direct response to people's fears. Right. It's not just granting interviews on the newspapers. We would have expected a 5-10-point action to say that things like, I'm just saying, might not necessarily be, okay, so we are bringing in kerosene, whatever NPC has been directed to bring in kerosene to crash the price, the diesel and so on and so forth. Diesel is affecting manufacturers. It's affecting everybody.
Very, very true.
So what stops sometimes you have intervention from the government. Well, we don't see anything like that. Mm. And it's worrying. You know, it's quite worrying. But Aye, what does that mean?
We'll survive.
We'll survive it. Mm.
Before we drop that, though, what do you think, because I know that failed suicide attempt is a crime, should he be punished?
Well, why do you want to add to his grief?
Yeah, the law is
the
law.
Well, the law is the law, but so if a man who wants to die and you are able to save him under these circumstances, why do you not want to add to his grief? Well, as if he's in prison, you feed him.
What if food is not
to look at the funny side of it? But seriously, there are more people who are inclined in this direction that have not been brave enough to. We need to have a centrist. I keep saying, look at the sign of the times and what is happening to our citizens.
Let's go back to the punch quickly. Ogun Church scatters as preacher dies during sermon against ritualists.
This one, I just brought this one for your information. I'd like to know what you think of this. Mm. It says that a deacon at Francis Ogunosi, he was preaching in church on Sunday against ritual killing. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, bam, he just died. Mm. You know, he just died. And it says here that nobody knows. He was preaching to say that, look, the money you make through unlawful means, killing people, sucking human blood, when death comes, it will belong to another person. That is in the money. He says, however, as his interpreter was about presenting the words in English, Ogunosi fell with the microphone in his hand. It led to commotion, and people rushed him to hospital. And they said they could not tell if Ogunosi had any health challenge before the incident, adding that the disease was between 60 and 70. It could just be that he was exhausted. You need to check your BP at times like this. You need to check your sugar level. He could have gone into a coma and he was initially assumed dead. Only God knows what happened to him. But I don't know if there's a correlation between talking about, I'm afraid to talk about it now because I don't know what will happen. No, I'm sorry I'm joking about this, but I need to brighten us up a little bit. Talking about rituals and so on and so forth. I don't know if there's a correlation between the two. And I'd like to know what you people feel. It would be nice. Let's see if we can talk about it on Twitter or something.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right.
If for anything at all, to take our minds off the daily challenges. Now the rains have started.
Yeah.
The rains that have started now presents a challenge to certain persons.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. Very true. Okay, let's take a look at this public notice put out by Lagos State Government. Federal Ministry of Works and Housing Headquarters. Oh, okay, so it's
federal.
Public notice to quit under bridges. A coal bridge fire incident. Federal Ministry of Works and Housing issued 7-day quit notice to persons illegally doing businesses or habiting under bridges and loops of federal roads nationwide.
Well, you probably be asking yourself why the federal government had to do this one in Lagos, but it is nationwide. It is nationwide. And so the federal government has said, for your information, that nothing whatsoever should be under the any federal bridge, at least in the first instance. We hope the state will do. The state's ultimatum has expired. We haven't seen a report of how well, but I do see. I don't know the state's directive. I don't know whether it was directed specifically at Eco Bridge or all the bridges.
All the bridges. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So then if you look at what's going on in Ekpori and so on and so forth, and there's still a lot of activity going on. You see, there should be zero activities. Zero. The most that you could have is just the cars going under. If you've been to some other cities, it's such that you can't even stand there. You can, if you're going on an underpass, so be it. But you can't, it's not a place where you can't. What are you standing for? You can't take a taxi. No bus will stop for you there. You can't even cross the road. You only cross the road at the traffic light. If we can't achieve that in the short run, at least let us clear under bridges, with the party centers and so on. So let's clear them. And there's a security problem I keep maintaining. The oil tankers that park under some of our bridges between Nijora and whatever, it's a risk. It's a time bomb. With 30,000 liters of petrol, it's a risk. And these days, any form I repeat, any form of security compromise should be prevented. Should be prevented. We hope that would take happen. So this notice is nationwide, and it is 7 days. And I don't know when the 7 days will be up, but it says that at the expiration of the quit notice, violators will be prosecuted as provided by the laws of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. This is coming from Federal Ministry of Works, headed by, is he honorable? Mr. Fashola. I'm surprised he doesn't have a title, the chief honorable.
Yeah, Tabi.
Yeah.
Maybe he's rejecting it.
Maybe.
You know the kind of person he is.
I know, yes.
He's rejecting it.
I know he rejects it.
Do you think he has fun sometimes?
Who?
Fashola.
He has fun now.
He looks so serious for me all the time. He's always looking too serious.
Nah, it reminds me of Idiagbon. Yes. Idiagbon had this frowning face and frowning me. But he was another guy like you and I.
Okay.
That's for the public. He has his fun. Okay. He enjoys his beer, plays his football. I don't know about other things.
Let's not talk about other things.
Let's talk about that.
So we're done. That's why we're just gisting. What's coming up at 9?
Today's Wednesday now, the usual.
Yes.
I have Eki is going to bring the roof down.
Yeah.
Yes, I have to. I have to first of all hypnotize her to make sure that she doesn't drop a clanger here.
Why?
In this time. No, I've had that before. She's my regular customer. When I started Diabumi in Classic.
Okay.
So Eki is coming. My heart is in my mouth.
Okay, I wish you best of luck.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We'll have fun.
All right, here's Jimmy Disu. I'm Sheriff Quadri. That's our show this morning. You can catch up on the show again on our podcast section on the website. You can just go to the Listen Again tab on the website and go listen back again if you're interested. You can also download it, as a matter of fact. I'm Sheriff. We'll take the news now. After the news, we'll take a look at the PDP throwing their presidential ticket open and throwing out the option of zoning, rightly stated in the party's constitution. Our head of news for Mike Bamuno is my guest this morning. Stay here.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.